In a significant judgment, a two-judge bench of the Supreme Court has ruled that the right of voters to know about each and every movable property owned by candidates contesting elections is not absolute. This order is significant because it comes at a time when the right to information on electoral bonds has been cleared by the Chief Justice's court in the name of transparency. So the question, therefore, in this case, is whether the transparency that we seek in our democratic processes may in fact be impacted by this Supreme Court order. First, some key points on the verdict itself, because the background over here is important. The court overruled the verdict of the Guwahati High Court, which had declared the election of an independent MLA in Arunachal Pradesh to be null and void. The Guwahati High Court had done that. Why? Because the MLA in question, Kariko Cree, had apparently not disclosed three vehicles owned by his wife and son while filing his nomination to contest. Now, today, the Supreme Court has ruled that this non-disclosure could not be held against Mr. Kariko Cree. Significantly, and here is the crux of the order, the Supreme Court has said, and I quote, "We are not inclined to accept the blanket proposition that the candidate is required to lay his life out threadbare for examination by the electorate. His right to privacy would still survive as regards matters which are of no concern to the voter or are irrelevant to his candidature for public office. The non-disclosure of each and every asset owned by a candidate would not amount to a defect, much less a defect of a substantial character." In other words, you don't need to disclose each and everything. Not doing so doesn't show that you have, let us say, a poor character. The court did, however, clarify that there must be disclosure of those items which are a sizable asset in value. For example, the court said high-priced watches were items, details of which should be made public. The court added that there was no hard and fast rule in deciding what asset needed to be declared. It would depend on a case-by-case basis. Nalin, still with us. Adil Singh Boparai of the Congress joins us. Simranjit Singh is a partner in this particular and somebody who was a petitioner in this case. And Khushbu Jain, advocate of the Supreme Court, with us as well. In fact, Khushbu Jain, let me come to you first. The part in all of this which I don't understand is when the Supreme Court said that there is no hard and fast rule on what asset needs to be declared. So without the Supreme Court actually saying this is what corresponds to something that needs to be declared and here is something which doesn't, doesn't this judgment actually add to confusion?
So you don't have to look into as a confusion, but you will have to see that the type of movable assets change every day. A mobile phone 10 years or 20 years back must have not been that expensive. And if you look at a mobile phone, it's equivalent to the cost of the gold that we buy. You know, a piece of necklace that I would buy for myself as a gold would be equivalent to the kind of watch or a mobile phone that I'm holding with me. So not touching that aspect, you'll also have to see in the same order, the order which we were reading, that this should not be acted as a precedent. This order has to be of one of the kind, restricted to the facts of the case. So it's not a precedent that we're talking over here. This order has no inference over in the future, or it will not act as a precedent for any other matters in hand. So that is something which is very important, which all of us have to keep in mind.
But why do you say so? Why do you say so, Khushbu? Because the, the orders do seem to be pretty clear in terms of what can and what should and shouldn't be declared. You know, in a country where we say declare, politicians have to declare before you contest, the court says that, you know, there is the right to privacy and you don't need to declare everything. But it's not really specified what you can declare or what you should declare and you shouldn't. So, hence my question. It is confusing. I've read the order.
See, in a way, it can look as a confusion. Absolutely. So in a way, it can look it as a confusing, but again, I'm putting it that this has to be not acted as a precedent. It can't create a confusion because this is not a precedent for all future cases or all future matters that might come up. This cannot be acted, like for example, there are judgments which have passed in and they are acted as a precedent, so that becomes a law. Anything which is passed by the Supreme Court also act as a, in addition to the acts, in addition to the Constitution, also acts as a law in itself. This will not be acted as a law in itself. This is passed as one of the instance in that specific case, looking into the facts of the case. But again, I'm reiterating, it's not taking away your right, which is guaranteed in the constitution as a right to vote.
Simranjit Singh, you know, your client was the winner in this particular case, so therefore congratulations, you know, in this fairly important judgment. Some call it a landmark judgment. Could you explain to us, beyond your client, Mr. Karikhokri himself, what the implications of this are?
The implications of this judgment are pretty clear, because they deal with what would it be, what would a substantial defect be at the end of the day. Now, to give a better understanding to your viewers, I would rather want to inform you about what the facts of the case were. In the present case, it was with regards to three vehicular assets.
Yes.
Now, the nomination paper was filed in 2019, while these vehicular assets were already sold prior to 2019. The first asset was already sold in 2009 as scrap. The remainder of the two assets were sold in 2014 and 2017. So they never remained as an asset on the books of the concerned candidate when he was filing his nomination paper. Secondly, it wasn't a substantial defect because of the simple reason that in the nomination paper itself, the returned candidate had declared his movable assets to a substantial amount. Now, even if I take these assets to be assets, in the eyes of law, in the name of the concerned candidate, the total value of these assets was 0.01% of what was declared in the nomination paper. That is why the court held that it is not a defect of a substantial nature which would go on to materially affect the outcome of the election, which would be contrary to, which would be against the provision of the Representation of People's Act. So it is extremely important, because the court has clarified the position on as to what would be a substantial defect. A substantial defect in cases would be if you don't disclose something like a bungalow that you own, which is in your name and it is shown to be your asset, as well as certain other vehicular assets that are still being owned by you. But in the present case, those assets were already sold off, and thus the court came to the conclusion that it is not a defect of a substantial nature, which would then render the election of the returned candidate invalid.
Sure. Adil Singh Bopurai, firstly, do you welcome this particular order? And as a political leader yourself of the Congress Party, when you are fighting for transparency, would you not have preferred an order which actually perhaps said the opposite, that no, properties, whatever it may be, significant, insignificant, they all need to be declared?
Well, Vishnu, firstly, this is a significant judgment, but I see no cause for confusion. Mm-hmm. If you go through the judgment, if you go through the ratio, all what the Supreme Court has said is that they've drawn a distinction. And that distinction is between non-disclosure of substantial or material issues as opposed to non-disclosure of immaterial or trivial issues. And in this particular case, the overall assets of the returned candidate was to the tune of about 8 crore rupees. What he failed to disclose, or allegedly owned but did not disclose, were two scooties and one Maruti van. So therefore, the Supreme Court, in the peculiarities of this case, any lawyer will tell you that every case, every judgment depends on its own peculiar facts and circumstances. So therefore, if you compare the overall wealth of the returned candidate as opposed to what was rightly or wrongly not disclosed, the court came to a conclusion that this is no bearing on the overall candidature of the candidate vis-a-vis disclosure of information. But to allay your concerns and to allay the concerns of the voters at large, the principle or the maxim that the right to disclosure of information is traceable to Article 19(1)(a), which was held earlier by the Constitution Bench of the Supreme Court, continues to hold the field. All what the Supreme Court has said is that we cannot put a straitjacket formula. We cannot lay down an absolute or a blanket proposition of law. What has to be discerned is whether the non-disclosure is substantial or whether the non-disclosure is trivial. I think that's it is important to see the ratio in that perspective.
Okay. And Nalin, there is, of course, the other aspect of this as well, another fundamental right, the right to privacy. Would you say what the court has done today is to ensure that privacy, which applies equally to all citizens, has been protected?
So, Vishnu, this is a very nice debate, because it's not a partisan debate. Everyone here is only adding to it. So let's take the discussion further. I think, and I'll pick up from each one, is built in that direction. But Adil, as he at the end said, it's about a material disclosure. So let's start from the top. What is the election scenario? Obviously, as the Chief Justice has put out there, You need to have proper information that is material to the decision of a voter to cast the vote in favor of that proposed candidate who may be the elected member eventually. So there's no fight with that. Obviously, the right to information is correct. You must have disclosure. The second is to what extent and where do you cross the line of privacy? So let me give an example. Any one of us on this panel, if we are a candidate, how many shirts I have? What is my shirt brand or what? How is that relevant in the totality of assets if it's significant? That's all it says. So I think Adil gave that example correctly. If it's 8 crores in which two scooties have been sold in the past, the Maruti is sold in the past, how do you count it as his asset? So therefore, I would say that you need disclosure that is material to the decision. Any non-disclosure of a material fact should have penal consequences, which is what the law is. But you also have to respect that the same person who's your candidate is a citizen just as about you, me or the voter, with rights about his family, her family, not disclosing, for example, what is the vehicle with the wife which may be out of her independent income. If the wife is working or has a business, has her own independent income, why should she be dragged into this? In this particular case, the asset was not even in his name. So I think therefore there has to be a balance. Swinging from one end to the other is not going to help. What is relevant is the material fact to help a decision of a voter. That's it. Anything that's beyond it is taking it into the theater of the absurd, if I can say so.
Khushbu, if you look at the order of the Chief Justice's Court on electoral bonds, the order says, and I quote, this court also recognized that freedom of speech and expression includes the right to acquire information which would enable people to debate on social, moral and political issues. Some would say that this means that information on every aspect of the life of politicians is fair game. I understand you can push this to ridiculous levels. I'm just making an argument. The court also said, again in the order, the court rejected the argument that information about a candidate contesting elections cannot be compelled to be disclosed because it is not public information. To me, this seems to suggest that if you're a political leader, then public information is something you need to provide. That was about transparency. This is about privacy. How would you look at both of these orders?
Okay, so again, I'm reiterating the point. That's one of the judgments without having any precedent. But I absolutely agree with you over here, because when you're talking about voters, there is a thin line between privacy and nobody is getting into their private life. But one has to understand that Constitution itself talks about that a voter has a right. And when you talk about freedom of speech of a voter, he has to understand whether the candidate or may not have sufficient assets, so that voters like you and me will understand whether this candidate is tempted to indulge into something unjustified means for accumulating of a wealth, or it can understand what kind of liability it has, or at the same time it can understand that how much accumulation of wealth has happened during that entire process of standing in the election. I see Adil coming, standing his hand, but you have to see that it's a right, it's an informed right, because we are talking about transparency, we are talking about accountability, we are talking about all these things, and it cannot happen if we don't bring in those assets for people, for voters like you and me to have that transparent thing over there. I understand that there is that conflict between right to privacy, and they also are a citizen of India, and there is something called as right to privacy with them, but at the same time, you are part of the public. And there is no harm in declaring that aspect, because it's restricted to the kind of profession that you're into. And it goes without saying that it's not just here, any other professional life also, if it's something to do with, if you're into trading and it comes under the aspect that you have some certain personal certain privileged information, insider trading, you have to disclose details. So I'm making that understanding so that people, everybody understand that we are going to an aspect where we are in a state where for a healthy democracy, you do need something called as transparency and accountability. And without this detail, without furnishing of this detail, and without having that right to you and me to understand who do we cast vote, this becomes a situation where we are again bringing in that grayness in the whole system and paving way to more of a black money win.
All right. Look, I'm out of time on this, but isn't it wonderful that we can all have a debate and not fight with each other and debate an issue which is important in so many ways. Thank you all very much for that. And indeed, sharing your views on this, Simranjit Singh, an important verdict which you fought and won, the ramifications of which we need to see. Well, would this be used as a precedent in another court case in the future, saying X or Y political leader has not declared assets. And these are the assets which should have been declared because it is valuable. You can't just say that it's not. That's the key point. We're going to take a short break up after that. A couple of stories from out on the election trail. That's up next.